Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into a source you sent us, a really comprehensive 2025 cybersecurity checklist for small businesses. And it looks like the whole point is to take these, you know, huge enterprise-grade ideas, things like zero trust and security operations centers, and make them actually work for a smaller company.
Exactly. And our mission today is to, well, to give you the shortcut. We're going to pull out the absolute essentials, the high-impact strategies you need to be thinking about right now.
So really focusing on the big two.
The big two. It's all about building a real modern defense against the threats that are just dominating everything, phishing and ransomware.
Okay, so let's start with the stats that, frankly, make this whole conversation so urgent. This isn't just background noise anymore.
It is not. The stage is set with some pretty alarming clarity. We're seeing cyber attacks up over 38% year over year. Globally. But the number that should really grab every small business owner's attention is this one. 43% of all data breaches are now specifically targeting small to medium-sized businesses. This is not a big corporation problem anymore.
The implication there is huge. It sounds like the big companies got better at defense, so the attackers are just moving down the food chain.
That's precisely it. They're going after the softer targets. The blunt truth, and your source material lays this out, is that the question is no longer if you'll be targeted, it's when.
And that takes us right into the business consequences, which are,
they're
terrifying. We aren't just talking about a little downtime.
No, we're talking about a business mortality event. The financials are just catastrophic. The average cost of a data breach for an SMB now exceeds $200,000.
$200,000.
Just think about what that means for a small company. That's enough to wipe out an entire year's profits, maybe more.
And the checklist points to something even worse, sort of the long-term fallout.
It connects the dots. 60% of small companies go completely out of business within 6 months of a major cyber attack.
60%.
This isn't just about losing a few files or paying a fine. This is structural failure. If you lose your customer data, your financial records, your operational systems, the business just can't recover.
So if the stakes are really that high, we have to understand the opponent. How do phishing and ransomware actually work together to cause this kind of damage?
What's really fascinating is how simple the entry point still is. Phishing is the undisputed champion of initial access. It kicks off 91% of all successful cyber attacks.
Still, after all these years.
Still, it's just tricking an employee. Getting them to hand over a password or click a bad link, that's the door opening.
But ransomware isn't just those simple spam emails anymore, is it? It feels like a much more professional operation now.
Oh, absolutely. It's evolved from those opportunistic, you know, spray and pray attacks to highly targeted campaigns. The attack groups often do weeks of research on their victims.
They know who they're hitting.
They know your size, they know your key employees, and they craft these incredibly convincing spear phishing emails designed to steal that one credential they need to get started.
So they're basically doing their homework on the companies they plan to attack. And the sources pointed to the two main ways the payload gets delivered.
That's right. When you look at how ransomware actually gets in, the path is really clear. Phishing emails are number one, about 54% of infections. But number two, at around 30%, is remote desktop protocol, RDP.
RDP. For our listeners who use remote access, what makes that such a big risk?
It's almost always a configuration issue. RDP is a direct door into your network for employees or vendors. If that door is only protected by a weak password or, you know, the system hasn't been patched.
It's wide open.
It's wide open. Attackers can just walk in, move around your network quietly, and then launch the ransomware when they're ready.
Okay, so the threats are clear. Let's pivot to defense, which is where the checklist really helps by focusing on, you know, achievable actions. And it all starts with identity.
Identity is the new perimeter. Mm-hmm. And the first critical step, this is non-negotiable, is multi-factor authentication, MFA, everywhere.
We hear about MFA constantly. Why is it still the absolute gold standard?
Because it provides that critical second factor. Mm. So even if an attacker tricks an employee and steals their password,
which is the most likely scenario,
the most common outcome, exactly, MFA is that barrier. The attacker has the key, but they still can't open the door without the code from the employee's physical phone.
And the tip in the source is really specific about how to do it right.
It is. always prioritize authenticator apps, like from Google or Microsoft, over the SMS text message codes.
Why is that?
Because SMS is vulnerable to something called a SIM swapping attack. Criminals can trick your phone company into moving your number to their phone, and then they get your MFA codes. It happens all the time.
Okay, so authenticator apps for everything.
Everything. All email, all remote access, all cloud services, no exceptions.
That locks down identity. But since email is the delivery truck, the next step has to be reinforcing the email gateway itself, right? Beyond just basic spam filters.
Right. You need advanced email security filtering. You need something that actively validates where the email is coming from. And that's where these, you know, technical acronyms become so important. SPF, DKIM, and especially DMRC.
All right. Break down DMR for someone who isn't a network engineer. What does it actually do?
Think of DMRC as a kind of digital passport control for your email. These protocols let you tell the entire internet, hey, if an email says it's from my company, but it didn't come from my approved server,
just block it. Don't even deliver it.
Block it immediately. It basically kills email spoofing, which is the cornerstone of almost every effective phishing attack.
That's a fantastic way to think about it. It's not about blocking spam. It's about verifying authenticity. So that closes the main door. But what happens if they get past all of that? That's where zero trust comes in, right?
Zero trust is the foundational principle for modern security. The core idea is simple. Never trust. Always verify. You just assume a breach is going to happen. So no user, no device, nothing gets trusted by default, even if it's already inside your network.
That sounds incredibly complicated, maybe expensive. Is that really something a small business can pull off?
That's a fair question, and it's where managed services can really help. But for a small business, zero trust boils down to three achievable things. First, least privilege access.
Meaning?
Users only get the absolute minimum access they need to do their job, nothing more.
Give me a real-world example.
Okay, so for a small marketing agency, the graphic designer should not have access to the company's accounting software. The sales manager needs the CRM, but not server admin rights.
So if the designer's computer gets compromised,
the attacker is stuck. They can't get to the critical financial systems. It limits the blast radius. The second step is network segmentation. You build virtual walls inside your network.
Got it. So an infection in one department can't spread to another.
Exactly. And third, you verify every access request, no matter where it's coming from. It's just constant scrutiny.
Okay, we've hit prevention hard. But perfect prevention is impossible, so we have to talk about resilience. Backups. The last line of defense.
They're not just the last line of defense. They are your ransomware insurance policy. But the checklist makes a crucial point. Backups are worthless if they don't work when you need them. It highlights the 3-2-1 backup rule.
Okay, what is the 3-2-1 rule?
It's simple. Three copies of your data on two different types of media, like a local server and maybe the cloud, with one of those copies completely offsite.
But there's a catch, isn't there? The part where people find out their backups are useless right when they need them most?
That's the nightmare scenario, and it happens all the time. People discover their backups were corrupted or incomplete, or that a full restore would take weeks. You have to test your restoration process quarterly at a minimum. Monthly is better.
And there's another key detail for ransomware.
Yes. You have to make sure your backups are either air-gapped, physically disconnected from the network, or immutable. Immutable means the data can't be changed or encrypted by ransomware. If the attacker can get to your backup, it's not a backup. It's just more data they can hold for ransom.
That's a powerful distinction. Okay, let's move from the tech to the people. Because even with all this, your employees are still your biggest risk and your best defense. The human firewall.
Exactly. And that means comprehensive security awareness training. And I don't mean that, you know, 1-hour video people click through once a year. The goal is to change the culture.
So what does good modern training actually look like?
It's continuous. The checklist is clear. Short monthly training sessions on current threats. Run simulated phishing campaigns every quarter to see who's clicking. And this is key reward employees who report suspicious things.
Ah, so it's not about punishment.
Never. You have to create a culture where reporting a weird email is seen as a heroic act, not an admission that you almost messed up.
That mindset shift is huge. Okay, circling back to the tech for a moment. We need to keep the systems themselves healthy.
Absolutely. You have to keep everything updated and patched. Unpatched vulnerabilities are, it's like leaving your front door unlocked with a welcome mat out for attackers.
And the checklist says we need to move beyond traditional antivirus software.
Yes, it mandates endpoint detection and response, or EDR. Traditional antivirus is like a bouncer with a list of known troublemakers. EDR is more like a security guard inside, watching behaviors and who can actually fight back and trace what happened.
So it's proactive, not just reactive.
Exactly. It gives you the visibility and the automated response you need against a modern attack.
And for those who are really serious about stopping ransomware, what are the most advanced steps?
Two things stand out. First, application whitelisting. This means only a pre-approved list of safe applications can run, period. Any random malware an employee downloads simply won't launch.
That's a pretty hard line.
It is, but it's incredibly effective. And second, reinforcing that network segmentation. It's just a massive defense. It ensures that if one machine gets infected, the ransomware can't just rip through the entire network in minutes.
Okay, this is a fantastic roadmap. But let's get to the most practical question for any listener. What does all this cost?
The checklist actually gives a really concrete metric. Industry experts recommend you allocate about 3 to 10% of your total IT budget specifically to cybersecurity.
So what does that translate to in real dollars?
For most small businesses, you're realistically looking at an annual investment somewhere between, say, $5,000 and $25,000.
Which sounds like a lot until you put it next to that $200,000 average cost of a breach.
Exactly. It's preventative spending. And speaking of spending, let's talk about cyber insurance. A lot of businesses think that's their safety net.
But its role has changed, hasn't it?
It has changed dramatically. Insurance carriers are now driving compliance. They demand proof that you're doing the basics like MFA, tested backups, EDR, before they will even give you a policy.
So the checklist is basically what you need to do to even qualify for insurance.
That's right. Insurance is meant to complement your defenses, not replace them.
That is a critical point. Okay, last piece. The support structure. A lot of listeners have an IT guy or an IT support company. Why would they need a separate managed cybersecurity service on top of that?
It really comes down to specialization. Your IT support team is focused on efficiency and uptime, keeping things running. A dedicated cybersecurity service is focused on one thing only: threat prevention, detection, and 247 response.
They're two different jobs.
Completely different disciplines. Mm. A managed security provider gives you access to a security operations center, a SOC. Think of an SOC as your 24/7 air traffic control for cyber threats. They're constantly watching in a way your regular IT support just can't.
And the source mentions providers like Technegian, who use that SOC and zero trust model to bring this level of protection to smaller businesses.
And that example really shows the value. For a fraction of the cost of building your own security team, you get access to their experts, their tools, and that guaranteed 247 response. It's how a small business can actually achieve everything on this checklist.
This has been an incredibly thorough deep dive. You've got a clear, actionable roadmap grounded in the reality of today's threats. The key takeaway seems to be that you have to start now.
Let's just hammer those core takeaways one last time. Lock down identity with MFA everywhere. Use the apps. Build a strong email defense with DMRT. Establish network resilience with zero trust principles. And finally, ensure you can recover with tested, immutable backups using that 3-2-1 rule.
It's a multi-layered fortress, really, built to withstand an actual attack.
It has to be. And let me leave you with one final provocative thought that really highlights the urgency here. Modern ransomware moves at machine speed. It can encrypt thousands of your files in just a few minutes and spread across your entire network in under an hour.
Under an hour.
That speed is why manual monitoring is completely obsolete. You have to have an automated, well-rehearsed incident response plan ready to go because your window to stop an attack from becoming a catastrophe is measured in minutes, not hours. Planning today is absolutely non-negotiable.